Hey moms, welcome back to Maintaining the Me in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana. It is the second week in April, so this time is like really flying in 2019. Hope everyone enjoyed their weekend. We're getting some sun, some much needed sun in Southern California. We've experienced a pretty rough week last week. If you're from Southern California or you were born in California or you're here in California just from somewhere else and you live like in the LA area, I'm sure you've heard, or even if you've been on social media at this time, you've heard about the devastating tragedy of Nipsey Hussle being murdered at his store last week. So even if you don't know his music, I'm sure by now you would, you know, honestly say that he's more than just like a music artist. You know, he was really a community advocate, and the way that he was murdered was like very savage. So I'm sure you've heard about what happened, and I didn't post a podcast for last week because it was just, you know, everybody was just so devastated, you know, like, especially, like I said, if you're from LA or you live in LA, and just knowing that community and being aware of that community and the changes that he was bringing about, you know, for people and for our culture is just, you know, it's just really sad that it ended the way that it did, you know. So it just gives people a lot to think about. Definitely, you know, that we need to take better care of each other. And, you know, just an eye-opening experience for where we are as a people with the black-on-black crime. I know there was a lot of, like, conspiracy theories and, you know, all of that, but definitely the black-on-black crime. You know, I grew up in L.A., so I know about gangs and gang violence and, you know, have had experience with that. And, you know, it's just sad. You know, as we get older, it's like we're still hearing these same stories and these things are still happening. Regardless of wherever you take your life, it's like these things are still coming back and they're still happening. So I definitely wanted to talk a little bit about that this week, just about really when the dust settles. Because I think that right now everyone is, you know, kind of in shock. And just as a community, you know, we're just in shock and we're angry and, you know, have all these feelings, and social media is like saturated with stories and clips and, you know, memories and people, you know, expressing their pain and their hurt, and, you know, all of those things are happening right now. But I do want to talk a little bit about when the dust settles and when people go back to their lives, and, you know, how his wife, Lauren London, how she is going to be raising, you know, her children by herself, and their father is gone, you know. And so I definitely have experience with having a child who lost a parent at a young age. And now that he is 21, that it really still affects him, you know. So I think that when people are doing these savage murders and when things like that are happening, it's like they're not thinking about who is being left behind, this person, you know. So it's bigger than just, you know, what they can see in front of them. It's bigger than whatever beef or whatever ego trip that, you know, they're going off of. It's bigger than that. It's like people's lives are being affected, you know, ongoing after the survivors. Their lives are ongoing. They may have he has multiple children, you know, and so their families are dealing with, once, you know, the social media gets a new topic and, you know, something else, that there's people that are still going to be hurting. There are people, there are families that are still going to be suffering behind someone's savage act, you know. And I just feel terrible about it because I'm just like, wow, even after all that he's done for the community, still somebody would want to end his life. Someone that was trying to help. So it's not like he was actively gangbanging and, you know, this is something that would happen. You know, he was really trying to turn things around, not just for his own life, but for the people's lives around him, to keep this from happening, and then it ends up happening to him, you know. So it was just really a sad week, and people are still, you know, mourning and grieving over it for good reason, because it is, you know, a big tragedy. But I did want to talk with the moms that have experienced or are experiencing the same thing with their children whose father may have been taken from them early. And so I have some notes here that I want to go over because this is kind of a hard topic. So I was like, I need to be able to stay focused and try not to do too much rambling. I want to, you know, be intentional with my message that I have regarding this topic. Just understanding that when the dust settles and when you have a child that is experiencing the death of a parent, kind of what they're going through and what I had to learn going through this with my own son. Just understanding that everyone grieves different, even in children. You know, whether they're acting up, being quiet, being avoidant, you know, however they're dealing with the grief, they're dealing with the grief. Like, it's their way. And it's our job as the parent to kind of figure out how we can help our children go through that, because it's going to be something ongoing. And the thing with death, even if it's a parent or if it's a friend or however, especially when it's a parent, whenever you may not think about it every single day as time goes on. Like with my son, I don't feel like he was dealing with it every single day, but definitely all of his milestones, his graduations, you know, as he gets older, if he has children, you know, if he gets married, you know, all the things that we do in life when you graduate from high school, you know, all the milestones that you experience in life with your parent not being there, it can affect you. So it can take you right back to that place. And so, especially when you are a mom of a child that's lost a parent and you haven't lost a parent, it's even harder because it's something that I can't relate to. It's something that's his on his own. There's no one in the house that he grew up in with me, my husband, our children. None of us have lost a parent. So for him to be the only one in our family, our immediate family, that has lost a parent, that was something that was really hard for him, you know. So just having that empathy and understanding of what he's going through and not being able to say, hey, you know, I really know what you're going through, because at the end of the day, we don't know what they're going through because we have not experienced the loss of a parent. And so for him, you know, it started, his dad passed when he was like close to 7. So back then, you know, he was young. He didn't really know what forever meant, you know, like at that age. And he was really close to his dad. He knew his dad. He lived with his dad over the summers. He would go out of town. He lived out of town, so he would go live, stay out of town with him sometimes. And he was kind of back and forth. So he knows his dad's family, his dad's mom, you know. So he is really close to this day. He's really close to his dad's side of the family, and he was really close to his dad. So he was used to going long periods of time without seeing him as he got a little bit older, because his dad did live in another state. So it wasn't like a weekly thing or a daily thing, but he would spend months at a time with his dad. So he would miss out on that time. And when he was younger, I never realized how much it did affect him not going, because once we moved from California to Atlanta, I didn't realize how much of a change that would be for him, because all of his dad's side of the family was still in LA. So he was like about 9 or 10, about 9 when we moved. And so, you know, that was just a hard time for him. I got married, I had more children, you know. And so just keeping in mind that when you do have a child that has a parent that is gone, just recognizing that their foundation or preconceived stability, security, it's gone at that point. You know, whatever perception they have of stability, even if you guys don't start off together, or you guys aren't together when they were born, or you end up breaking up before they remember, his stability in the co-parenting was him going to spend the summers with him or holidays or whatever. And that option is not there anymore. So just being conscious of the fact that it really does disrupt their foundation. So especially if you are living in the same house with them, and you know, all of a sudden you're not waking up to this person every day, or they're not experiencing this person every day, it can cause serious trauma if it's not dealt with, you know, and handled really with care. You can't just assume, like, over time that, oh, they'll get over it as they get older, or the less you talk about it, or, you know, don't bring it up. Those things can really make it worse. So, just understanding that it disrupts their foundation and preconceived stability and security, and that, you know, all situations are different. I work with kids that are former foster youth, and when I talk to them, a lot of them, or even kids that are experiencing homelessness, like the transitional age youth, which is 18 to 24, a lot of these kids that I'm talking to and these transitional age youth, a lot of their parents passed when they were younger. And so that made them have to go to foster care or live with relatives, move out of state to go live with different relatives to keep themselves in the family, go live with the other parent that maybe they didn't get along with, or the mom didn't get along with, and their mom passed, so they had to go live with their dad, and their dad may have a new relationship. There's so many different scenarios, but for the child involved, they are displaced at that point. It's like, okay, everything that I knew is gone, and now there's this new wave of life that's going to happen like immediately. So just being mindful of how that shift, even though they're kids, their stability is in jeopardy. So that shift can really cause a lot of trauma. And so just that we're being conscious of that. They may worry about losing the other parent. You know, they may worry about you passing away. If you're the mom and their dad passed, they may be worried about you passing away. They've experienced the death of a parent now. So what's to cause you from something not happening to you, especially if it's something, a tragedy like a murder or a car accident, or just something that's sudden. One day they're alive and then the next minute they're not. You know, for a no fault of their own, just like an accident, some freak accident, or somebody kills them. It's like all of a sudden, or even like a medical thing, they can go in for surgery and then not make it out of surgery. It's like things that you are like freak accidents where you can't expect them. It causes a lot of trauma. You know, it's something that they have to deal with. So just being mindful of that. That's something that I had to learn with my son, because at the time, I had never really experienced any type of death like that, and especially sudden death, and having a child that, like I said, was from a previous relationship. I kind of just, you know, put all my kids together, and it's like, okay, now we're just one family, and you have to always consider that, yeah, you are one family, but he does have another family. So I always try to be conscious of that and make sure that he still had his availability to his dad's side of the family. Even though we didn't live in the same state, I still made sure that they had contact with each other. She, you know, his mom, his aunt always had like our phone number, and you know, so just that we can always keep that relationship. They knew that as he grew up, they always wanted to make sure that he didn't forget that he did have his dad's side of the family that was still wanting to have that relationship with him. So definitely keep that in mind, keeping that open communication with the other family. And then, you know, just being mindful about the financial situation. It may change, you know, if that parent was really active in paying child support, or, you know, them going to a private school, or, you know, whatever happens. And then now this person is gone. They can't provide anymore. So there may be a shift in your financial stability. You know, so a lot of the kids that I work with would tell me, like, yeah, well, my mom, I was able to live with my mom after my dad passed, but, you know, we ended up having to move into a shelter, or I had to go live with my grandmother because my mom couldn't afford to take care of me anymore. So she let me live with my grandmother while she worked and sent money for me. You know, so there's just so many different scenarios of what happens when a child loses their parent. Just have to be mindful of, you know, ways to combat that. Let me see what else I have here. Another thing just to consider, that when you're not, because my son, he didn't really go to counseling. Like, we definitely let the schools know that, you know, his father had passed, and, you know, we have just moved to Georgia. You know, just letting the teachers and everybody know, even before we left, let the teachers know, like, his father passed. You guys have any type of grievance counseling or anything, peer-to-peer group counseling in the school available? We didn't take it to an outside therapist at that time, just because I really wasn't aware of what he needed. And so I wanted to make it as normal as possible for him. So I didn't choose to have outside therapy. I just had like the school grievance counselor, somebody just so he could be available to talk to on his hard days and just learning what those hard days were. Because I mean, we didn't know. There was no way of knowing until you just kind of go through these things. So just a little bit of a statistic I'll throw out there. In the 2000 Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, an allied discipline study found that about one out of every five one out of five children who've lost a parent will develop a psychiatric disorder. And so those numbers are super high, and I can see how that's possible. Now, it's not necessarily going to happen to your son or your daughter just because they lost a parent, but if they go untreated, if they're just ignored, if we don't attack whatever trauma is stirring in them that we may or may not know about, it can cause long-term effects on them. So it's like really important that if your child, even if they're not expressing any type of trauma, that you are open to listening or just talking about it and bringing it out so that you can see what they're going through, or if they have any questions about it. It may be a painful thing for you to talk about, but just keeping in mind that they're children and they may be suppressing it. And so it's gonna come out one day. It's gonna come out in one form or another, whether through their schoolwork, whether through fighting, whether depression, like it's gonna come out eventually. So it's better to tackle it, have an open door policy where they can come in and talk to you about how they're feeling, or you're encouraging them to come and talk to you or talk to someone else that they may wanna, have conversations with. So that's just the one tidbit of data. I didn't want to make this like a whole psychology podcast. I just wanted to come from a real place of a more personal experience. But I definitely wanted to bring that up just because I know sometimes we're just not aware of certain information or of the numbers of what's going on. And data is not always like super accurate, but just so that you have an idea in your mind, if you are a parent of a child who lost their other parent, what are some of the negative effects that can happen if we're not on top of it, if we're not having those conversations. So, and then some things that I wanted to talk about, what we can do to combat some of this trauma. And one of the things definitely wanted to say is listening to your child, asking questions about what they need, just listening. Sometimes my son would be talking to me about his experience, and it was on attack for me, but I had to learn how to, just be quiet and just listen. Because when he was younger, like I said before, he was used to going to his to going to visit with his dad during the summers, and he was used to, talking to him on the phone and different things. And so there was one particular summer, this was the summer before he passed. He wanted to go with his dad. Well, his dad wasn't living the lifestyle that was where a child should be. And so I made the adult decision that I did not let him go spend that summer out where he was at. So I had good reason for it. I made that adult decision. I felt like his life could be in danger if he spent any more time out in that area. So I decided that my son could not go. And the beginning, he never said anything about it. He just kind of just went along with, what I was, just going along with life, but he never really mentioned it. But then later on, he expressed to me that he was upset with me, that he was mad at me because I would not let him spend that. If he would have been able to spend that last summer with his dad, he would have had more time with him. And so this was probably like in middle school that he brought that up to me. And so at first, I could feel myself getting angry because I was just like, what do you know what I saved you from? But you know what? I just had to let him talk. I just had to listen to him and understand where he was coming from. And from a kid's point of view, he didn't know all that was going on. I mean, as he got older, he kind of knew, but at that time, he just wanted more time with his dad. It had nothing to do with me. It was nothing that I could have done to prevent what happened to his dad from happening. So just letting them talk, even if it doesn't sound good to your ears, being that open heart and open ears, it goes a long way. So definitely listen to your child. And then once you are listening and you're able to hear it from their point of view, then you can have that open conversation with them about why it happened and apologize. You know, I've had to apologize to him for how he thought things were happening and how he thought things should be, you know, and I just had to tell him, you know what? I apologize that you felt that way and that you couldn't go that summer. I apologize. I had no idea that that was going to happen to him. If I would have known that that was going to happen to him, maybe you could have spent more time with him. But there's no way that any of us could know what was going to happen when it happened. So that gave him more relief, and it was a chance for him to forgive me for not letting him go that summer. So just listening to your kids has that open and dial having that open dialogue really helps a lot. I have down here number two that they need support, and they need support ongoing. Like I said a little bit earlier, it's not an everyday thing where they're just gonna have a bad day every day. You know, it's not every single day that they're gonna be thinking about their parent that they lost. There's good days, they have great days, you know, they have fun still. He had, you know, a lot of friends, and he would still go to, you know, play. He played football, and you know, he did ROTC, and he had his good times. But when it was around the either his dad's birthday or the anniversary for his father's death, like when those days of the year would come around, he was definitely acting out more, or he would be more sad, or just feelings of I started to be able to check on him more during those times, just because I was more aware of his behavior around those times. Either he got really withdrawn, or he would get sad, or sometimes he would act out. He was a kid. So, but because I was paying attention to that, I knew like around those times, and even to this day, I still check on him around those times because I know those are really, really difficult times. And I also have brought that to his attention. Like, okay, you know, I know you don't look at the calendar. You know, you're having these different emotions and these different feelings. You know, this is around that time. So just be conscious of that. It's okay to feel however you feel. You know, this is what's probably going on. So just know this is around this time. So, you know, take the day off of work if you have to, you know, but just be mindful of what's going on and how your body is responding to this trauma at this time, you know. So I definitely am still in tune with him when it comes to that. So just keeping them with the support. They definitely need structure. Letting the school know, of course, getting involved with community resources like sports, activities, camps, support groups. If they did have other siblings with that parent, I know that my son's sister, he has a sister from his dad, and they're both around the same age. And we found out about her once he passed, and so they have a great relationship. They talk all the time, and she didn't know him. She never got a chance to know her dad, but because they're so close, they have that bond and they have the same dad. And so he always talks to his sister. And so I make sure that I nurtured that relationship, and I made sure that, you know, I encouraged them to stay close and to talk. And she came to his high school graduation, and just having that sibling support, because he does have a different dad than my other children. So him just having another sibling is so helpful for him to be able to have that connection with his dad and his dad's side of the family. So I definitely encourage, you know, if they have siblings, to make sure that they're linked up and they're able to talk to each other. Being honest about what happened to their parent, you know, if their parent was killed or died in a car accident, or, you know, just having as much age appropriate dialogue with them as possible. You know, the way that my son's father was killed was terrible. So, you know, I definitely minimized the details at was when he was younger, But as he got older, we definitely talked to him about it, and he found out more information about it, and he would ask more questions. And so, definitely, we never lied to him. I never wanted him to feel like I was lying to him, but I definitely let him know, like, some things you're just not ready to know about. And in time, you'll find out, and then we could talk about it, but I want you to be able to enjoy your childhood and not be worried and stressed out about different traumas and things that are not under our control. So, but definitely being honest with them, never talking bad about that parent. Sometimes you may not be on the best of terms when it happens. And, I wasn't really on the best of terms with his dad when it happened, and never talk bad about him to his son ever. It's like you have to have that boundary and respect. It's all said and done at that time. So the only thing that I could focus on is just my child and making sure that he was okay. So just never talking bad about the parent, no matter what they did, if they didn't pay child support or they didn't come around that much or whatever, it doesn't really matter at that point. At that point, it's all about your child and how they're receiving the information. Acknowledging the parent's birthday, death date, allowing them that time either alone or together. We would always acknowledge it. Make sure, like, around that time, ask him, if he wanted to go out or if he wanted to be with, go somewhere or, whatever. Just recognizing that was a hard time for him. Just being transparent and letting him feel like he could be transparent about how he was feeling. And sometimes he'll be like, no, I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to just chill. I just want to be by myself, or I just want to, whatever. Just having that respect, but letting him know that it's okay to acknowledge his dad. And he had a picture of his dad and on his bed. He would have a pic he had a picture, like a family picture of us. He had pictures of his siblings. He had pictures of us as a family, like different pictures. We never ever excluded him having pictures of his dad, having memorabilia of his dad, none of that. It was like, no, if you want his clothes or his, if there was a jacket or a piece of jewelry or something that signified for his dad, of course he has it. He has his little memory box of things that he got from his dad. He has, stuff that he kept all of these years that are his dad's. And I think that that's healthy and it's normal and it's okay. It helps them feel safe. It makes them feel, connected, and it's okay. So I definitely encourage that. We definitely let him have his memorabilia. Also, counseling. If you decide that counseling, if they're really struggling and that you find that they are really having a lot of issues in school or having trouble sleeping, definitely seek professional help for sure. Being mindful though, if you are deciding to put your child in counseling. And I tell parents this anyway because a lot of times kids are acting out, and they're acting out in response to their environment. So it is a family counseling decision. I definitely encourage, if your child has lost a parent and you feel like they really need to go into counseling or therapy, everybody needs to be on board. Like, it just can't be this child in counseling and the whole family. It's like, we're all good except for you. So you need to go to counseling. Kids can feel that way, so you got to be mindful. It's like, no, if you want to send your child to counseling, it's a group counseling. Everybody should be involved. Maybe not the siblings, but definitely the parent or the step parent or whoever the child feels really comfortable with, so that they know that they have that support from you and that you are there for them and that they're not alone in this situation. It's like, okay, I support you. I want to make sure that you're good. Let's figure this out as a family, because the kids' environment affects them. So if you're a part of your kids' environment, which you are, there's something that you may be causing them, some type of anxiety that they may feel they can't talk to you about, whatever it is, so that they can feel like you're all involved in the situation and the process, because it's just not easy for anybody. Also, let me get back to my notes because I can definitely get carried away. And then this is another thing that this was just a personal thing for me. I'm not saying whether people should do this or not. This is just something that we decided to do. And because it definitely came up, because Kimon was so young when I got remarried and when I had more kids and he was young, we definitely let him keep his dad's last name. There was never any conversation about changing his name or anything. And there was a point when he was in middle school where he was saying that maybe he can add the name on. He can name add our my husband's last name onto his last name. But, we just left it open. It was kind of like, well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but you don't have to change your last name. You're who you are and you're still a part of this family. So it doesn't matter what your last name is. If you want to keep your dad's last name, that is your dad. That is your legacy. Your name is your legacy. And so it doesn't have to be what everyone else's last name is. It's your legacy. It can be whatever you want it to be. So take some time to think about it, And so when he was younger, he was like, well, maybe I could just add it on. But it was more so that he felt like he didn't want to hurt my husband's feelings. He wanted him to feel like, he accepted him as his step parent and that he loved him as his step parent. And, he felt more that that was the issue. Like, I don't want to make him feel like, I don't accept him, so maybe I can add his name on. And my husband told him, you don't have to do that. We have a great relationship. I love you regardless of what your last name is. You can keep your dad's last name. That's your name. You don't ever have to change your name if that's not what you want to do. You don't have to do that. That's your dad's last name. You keep your dad's last name. So he always kept his dad's last name, and it was never an issue. We talked about it. It was always on the table. It was always if he wanted to change it, he could, but he didn't. And as he got older, the more pride he felt in having his last name and being connected to his siblings and being connected to his dad by carrying on his last name. So, definitely a personal decision. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just sharing my experience that I had with my son because he is a child that lost his parent at a young age. And I was looking at a post somebody had posted on in regards to the Nipsey Hussle situation, and basically was just like, everybody's posting all these things, but like in a month or so, his family's still going to be dealing with it. And I think she had some experience with that with her kids, that I think her kid's father was either murdered or he died in a car accident or something. And she was just saying, like, the kids are the ones that really suffer because they don't have a parent anymore. Like, they lost a parent. And so, just understanding that this is not just a tragedy that affects this one person that was murdered, this affects like their whole family. It's a missing family member, a missing link, So, just being mindful. And that's why I think that this death really hit LA a little different just because of what he meant to the city and what he was trying to do as an activist and as a community advocate. He was trying to minimize the effects of the gang violence and he wanted to end gang violence. And, he came from a pure place where he actually was, putting his money where his mouth was. He was actually doing the things that people say that they want to do, he was actually doing them. He actually was putting money back into the community. He was creating jobs for people. He was doing all of those things. So definitely wanted to take a little time to speak on that topic as it relates to motherhood and to this podcast because it is important. This is a community that I definitely want to support and share my own personal experiences with everyone, because in motherhood we're dealing with this stuff. This is something that in life we have no control over some things, and these are the things that we don't have any control over, but at the same time we still have to raise our children. So I hope this was helpful to mothers out there that have a child that lost a parent. Just a few tips of things they could do. Definitely you can email me, ask me more questions about it, or DM me on my Modern Mommy. It's ModernMommie, number 2. And you can DM me and ask me more questions about it. And I'm definitely open book. You can ask me whatever about raising my son. But yeah, he's 21. He's good. He went to the Marines. He's living on his own now. So he's definitely doing well, but we have put in a lot of work. There's been a lot of work that needed to be done just from the trauma that he experienced from losing his dad at such a young age. And now that he is 21, in fact, I just talked to him about this maybe like a month ago. He was telling me, and this is at 21, he was just telling me how he really missed his dad, and he wishes that he could have conversations with him, that he could ask him about his past, if he can ask him questions about, just different things in life. We talked about that, and he was like, sometimes I wish I could just talk to him and just ask him some things about his past. And he was like, I just was thinking about that, and I'm just happy to be able to be a listening ear to him and to know what he's going through, and for him to trust me to talk to me about what he's going through now and how he still has questions about it. So this is a, like I said earlier, this is an ongoing thing. They need ongoing support. They need structure. Definitely, of course, love, and they need to be able to get it out and talk about it, and just recognizing that you can't sweep it under the rug. This is a trauma that they experience, and we just have to be there for them and love them through it all. So that's all I got for today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back next week. Bye bye.